Good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Sorry for the slight delay in starting because of rain, traffic condition not so good. So anyway, today is 23rd November 2023, Thursday class. So we'll be continuing sharing from this book. Unique Dhamma quote, from this book, Straight from the Heart. As written by me. So we are at quote 98. So as usual, we gather and have our physical puja. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadhā, virya, that mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Nam mô Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Nam mô Quan Thế Âm Bồ Tát. Nam mô Quan Thế Âm Bồ Tát. Nam mô Quan Thế Âm Bồ Tát. Nam mô Phổ Bồ Tát. Nam mô Phổ Bồ Tát. Nam mô Phổ Bồ Tát. Arahaṃ Sammāsambuddho Bhagavā Buddhaṃ Bhagavantaṃ Abhivādini. Suāgato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammaṃ Namassāmi. Suppatipanno Bhagavato Sakkhasanggho Sanghaṃ Namāmi. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Pānatipātā vairamanī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Ādinādānā vairamanī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Kāmesu Veeramani Sikkhapadaṃ Samādhiyāmi. Mosāvādā Veeramani Sikkhapadaṃ Samādhiyāmi. Surāmeraya Veeramani Sikkhapadaṃ Samādhiyāmi. Okay, you all can be seated. Turn to page 3 of the chanting book. We shall chant the Padipaha Puja onward. Ganna sarappa dithena dithena tamatansina tiloka dipang sambuddhang ujayami tamonodang ganda sambara yuthena Dopenaham suganghina pujaye pujaniyantam puja bhajana motamam वर्णगन्धसुनुपेता एतां कुसुमसन्ततिं पूजयामि मुनिन्दास श्रीपादसरोरुहे पूजेमि बुद्धां कुसुमेनानेन पुण्येन मत्तेन च होतु मुखम् पूपं मिलायति यथा इदं मे कायो तथायति विनाशभावम् आदिवासे तु नो भक्ते पानीयं परिकापितम् अनुकम्पम् उपादाय पातिगं हातुमोत्तमम् आदिवासे तु नो वन्ते पाले परिकापितम् अनुकम्पम् उपादाय पातिगं हातुमोत्तमम् आदिवासे तु नो वन्ते भोजनं परिकापितम् आनुकम्पम् उपादाय पातिगं हातुमोत्तमम्. Now we shall chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruits of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the born-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sadha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, carry and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Bhajan. Bhutang Bhaje. Dhammang Bhaje. Sanghang Pujemi. Okay, you all can be seated. We will have our half an hour of awareness-based meditation. Eh? So we are off the light. Then afterwards, you can develop your awareness-based meditation. We are understanding the four supports that are needed for us to develop the awareness-based meditation. So the first support is relax. Relax both body and mind completely. And after that, you just maintain awareness. That is your second support. Whatever arise, just aware. No need to know, no need to do anything. Just maintain awareness. And after that, the third support is to stabilize this awareness. So when you can continuously allow things to be, just maintain awareness. Whatever arise at our sense door, the five basic sense bases together with the mind door, the sixth sense door, whatever arise, aware, just acknowledge it, aware, finish, aware, finish. No need to know, no need to do anything. This will enable you to develop the ability just to be aware within silent without thought. So do not follow whatever that arises within your sense bases. Whatever you perceive through your hearing consciousness, seeing consciousness, smell, taste, tactile, or thought consciousness, just maintain awareness, just aware, finish. No need to know, no need to continue with the thinking. Normal people who are not trained, the moment they develop the ability to perceive what arises at their respective sense door, they create thought, thinking. So Sankhara Sanya is very fast. Sanya is perception. The moment you perceive, you think. That's why Sankhara is thinking. Then you react to what you perceive. That's how emotion come to be. Like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. Then sometime through memory, you recall the fear, the phobia, the insecurity, the habitual tendency. All this, they continuously haunt you and create the stirring of the mind. And because of that, most people are not able to meditate where there is no peace. The thought process keep on arising. Then not only you perceive and think, you also stir your mind and create all the mind states, which are most of the time with the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. That's why it conditions suffering or affection or negativity of mind state. So this is how living beings get into trouble. This is how living beings develops affliction through lack of understanding. So our awareness-based meditation is to enable us to silence our mind to observe and understand all this, so that we can develop the wisdom not to be deluded by it, not to be affected by it. So all these are the understanding that can arise when we are able to stabilize the inner awareness to silently observe and develop the understanding. Okay, so with that, I think I will set the alarm for 30 minutes so that you all can continue your awareness-based meditation. And for those who already have the ability to stabilize your inner awareness, you can go to the fourth support, which is trust. Trust your nature to do the meditation. Means no more interference from your thought process, from your memory, your views, your opinion, and your conditioning. Then, as usual, silence your mind completely with that stabilized sati or mindfulness, stay at the heart area, and allow the sati to actually develop the movement. Whatever it come into contact, it will develop the ability to be aware. It can be your heartbeat or any vibration within your heart area. So just let things be and stay with it. The awareness and the heartbeat or vibration, just let it move as one without any interference from the thought process. Just aware, stay there, be with it. This will enable the mind to actually develop stability or awareness. Then you can anchor that awareness there. So when there is this ability to stay there until there is no more thinking, no more thought, no more activity of mind, including feeling, perception, or sankhara activity, then the whole mind become like extraordinarily quiet, tranquil, and still. Realize that. Develop your ability to be in that state. Then you will come to understand clearly, without thought, who are you? What are you? Then how that mundane thinking, activity, mind, how they arise from that nature. Yeah. So all this is awareness-based meditation or sati-based meditation. When you are mindful or aware, you can understand all this. Okay, now I will let you meditate on your own. Okay, you can now slowly, mindfully come up with the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Okay, then we will turn to page 6 of the chanting. We will chant the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Shyakawalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakka Mokkadam Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayam Badanta Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa Iti beso bhagava arahan sama sambuddho วิจารณสัมปันโนสุขะโตโลกาวิโดอนุตตรโปุริสธรรมสารติสัตตาเดวานุสานังพุทโธภะคะวะติสวากาโตภะคะวะตาธัมโมสันติโกภะคะริโกเอหิปัสสโกอุปนายโกปัจจัตตังเวทิตาโตวิโนหิติสุปัฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆปุจจุปัฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆญาญาปัฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆสามีจิปัฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆญาติตังชะตาริปุริสยุคานิอัตตปุริสปุกาลาเอสาภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆอาหุเนโยปาหุเนโยดักขิเนโยอัญจาลิกาหานิโยอนุตรังปุญญังเกตังโลกัสสัตติสาธุสาธุสาธุโอเคเดี๋ยวกันไปสตาร์ท and we shall continue from where we stop we are at this unique code number 98นะโอเค we are at page 28 of this book นะ straight from the heart unique Dhamma code unique code number 98 make use of that creative mind state or the silent inner awareness which is our true mind to reflect, to inquire and contemplate the Dhamma, to develop the understanding and then cultivate heedfulness means ever mindful, constantly meditative in daily life. So this one is to develop the heedfulness in the midst of life. When you are heedful, means you are destined for enlightenment. Dhammapada verse 21, very clearly indicate heedfulness is the path to the deathless. And heedlessness is the path to the dead. Whereas the heedful never die, and the heedless are as if dead. So if you cannot develop this ability to be heedful, then spiritually you don't stand a chance. You are as if dead. So ability to develop this apamada nature, or what we call heedfulness within our silent mind, is very important. To be heedful is as per Dhammapada verse 23. The ever mindful, constantly meditative and steadfast one, they will realize the supreme born-free Nibbana. So there are two components to be heedful. First, you need to train your mind to be mindful, then stabilize it to be ever mindful. That is the first component. Not until your stability of mindfulness is so stable, until you are most of the time aware throughout the day or mindful throughout the day, you have not developed the initial state of mind to be heedful. Because to be heedful, you need to start with the training of the mind to be aware and stabilize it so that you are ever mindful throughout the day. And constantly meditative. That is the second component. To be constantly meditative means constantly using this ever mindful state to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is basically the Noble Eightfold Path. That's why constantly meditative means constantly cultivating the Noble Eightfold Path. It can be any of the Noble Eightfold Path factor. So when you use it to cultivate sati, stabilizing it, then to develop the four foundation of mindfulness, to develop the penetrative insight, that is also constantly meditative. The other way is to contemplate and reflect on the other power factor, then put it into practice. What constitutes right view, right thought, then go deep into it. Then meditate on it to develop the ultimate stability of understanding. Then you develop the further understanding of what the subsequent power factors are. How from right view the whole teaching actually come about. The three spiritual law. The right view is respect the law of karma, karma niyama, followed by right view with respect to mind, citta niyama. And finally is the right view with regards to all of dhamma, all of truth within nature, dhamma niyama. So when you have these three spiritual right view, you understand life clearly. You understand the deep meaning of law of karma. You understand how you function as a human being, how the mundane mind via paticca samuppada develop the understanding of life. So paticca samuppada means it is the law of dependent origination. You will come to understand everything that arises within the conditioned world, the mundane world. They are all dependent originating, condition arising. Without condition, nothing arises. That's why in the Mahayana teaching, they say, everything is conditioned, each year you wave up. Because we are living within the conditioned world. So the conditioned world has its own set of conditioned. And this conditioned are dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomenon. Without any of these causes and conditions, nothing arises, nothing manifests. That's why the Buddha came to realize this profound law. And he explained to the monks very clearly. He said, whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. And what are the causes and conditions? They are as per his teaching. The most important one is the fifth daily contemplation. We are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of karma. So definitely, karma is the main cause. That's why whatever arises, whatever happens, because we are born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of karma. It has to do with our past karmic actions, activity. So the moment things happen, we need to understand there are causes and conditions from the past, karmically conditioned. Then the other one is citta niyama. Citta niyama is to understand how we function as a human being. Because we have this mundane mind trapped within our physical form. We have the senses. So how, upon contact of this mundane consciousness with the sense basis, together with the external sense data, how it trigger the 18 sense, right? And each and every of these sense bases, they are capable of arising their respective sense or consciousness. That's why the unique quality of the mundane mind is it can make us conscious. Conscious of what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we tactile feel and think. These are the wonders of nature. They give from nature the ability to become conscious. That's how we can become alive. That's how we can know things. That's how we can interact with the world and develop this ability to have life. Without the senses, we are dead. Nothing can happen. That's why within the conditioned world, you need the sense basis to trigger the respective sense door consciousness. Then only the mundane mind can actually dwell in what you see, what we hear, smell, taste, tactile feel, and think. These are the existential sensuality or sensuality that the living being, especially us human beings, can manifest. That's why we are within the sensuality, where we can actually experience all this sensuality within the sensual mind. So sensual, the word in Pali is called karma, K-A-M-A. And this one is not K-A-R-M-A, it's K-A-M-A. That's why they have what we call karma loka. Karma loka is the sensual mind. And within the 31 plane of existence, we have this sixth line of karma loka. The four woeful state, the demon rhyme, the animal rhyme, the hungry ghost rhyme, and the hell rhyme, they are called the sensual rhyme of suffering or karma loka dukkata. Then the other one, the human rhyme and the deva rhyme, they are called the karma loka sukati, means the sensual rhyme of happiness. That's why to be born as a human being is very unique, very fortunate. Of course, to be born as deva, you are even more fortunate, but it depends. Sometimes, to actually understand the teaching, the Dhamma, to be born as a human being is better. But it's only within the sensual rhyme of human, or our rhyme of manusa, or what we call the human rhyme. Here we have both. The sensual rhyme where you experience suffering and happiness. That's why duality exists within such rhyme. And because we have such combination of sukhati and dukkata, you are able to experience the noble truth, the reality of the teachings, especially the first noble truth or dukkha. Then of course life is not just suffering. It's only when you don't have the understanding of the Dhamma, you entangle yourself and develop both mental and physical suffering. We are coming, conditioning, etc. But when you have developed the understanding and the wisdom, then the Dhamma can free your mind so that you can be free from all suffering. And this is the beautiful part of living. The Siddhika said, when you have the Dhamma, when you have penetrated the profound wisdom in true emptiness, life is wonderful. That's why the Lotus Sutta mentioned. Zhen Kong Miao Yu. In true emptiness, there is wonderful existence. So this is the meaning. Yeah. But if you are born in the Devaraj, most of the time is happiness up there. You seldom experience suffering. That's why they find it very difficult to learn the Dhamma. Yeah. But then, before they die, they suffer actually. Yeah. Because even when you are born as a Deva, radiant, beautiful, full of nice fragrance, but before you die, before they die, it seems the first thing that come to them to make them know that they are dying is they start to sweat, which is not normal. When you start to sweat for them in that line, it's bad news. Means they are going through that process of experiencing the death. So for them, birth, old age, sickness and death, they don't experience so severely. The moment they are born is instantaneous birth. On they become devas. Don't laugh. The non-human also like that, also very fast. There is not born from the womb. Like the hell rhyme. Immediately, you take that birth. Then, as a deva, the moment you are born, you are already the deva. Radiant, beautiful, fragrant, all things. Then you got special ability already. And these are all your parami. That's why you read the Jataka story. All the various lines. There is so much joy there. So much happiness. That's why it's real sukati. You seldom have suffering there. Then it's only towards the later part of their life, towards the very tail end, where they experience the decay part, which is, I think, only for short moments. Not that long. Well, the existence as a deva are very long. So maybe relatively just less than 1%, or even less. So when they experience that, I think the other devas will move away from them. You know, when you start to sweat, there is a smell and all those things, and they know you are dying. That's why where that you are born in which shrine, which is more conducive for you to cultivate, depends. But that is also the reason why most Samasa Buddha, their last birth, they choose the living human right. They choose to live within the human right. Yeah, this is the right where you can experience all these things and put forth the cultivation. Okay. So now I will go through this unique quote 98 again. In fact, it's an extension of unique quote 97, which we did last Thursday. So the unique quote number 97, I just read through to recap. Develop the initial wisdom born of first and second turning. Wisdom means through constantly listening to the true Dhamma, first turning wisdom. And second turning wisdom is constantly contemplating, reflecting, and inquiring to them to straighten our views. So this is to develop the Yoniso Manasikara, the initial wisdom born of first and second turning. Then unique code 98 is an extension. When we develop this awareness-based meditation, then we will have the awareness developed. The sati or mindfulness develop. So you're supposed to make use of that mind state, which is the silent inner awareness. And that state is creative, where there is no thinking, it's just aware. It has clarity, tranquility, that's why it's creative. It's not lost in thought, not entangled with the heedless thinking, emotion, stirring, everything. That mind state is so beautiful, is ever mindful, constantly meditated. That's why it's heedful living. So make use of this creative state of mind. Means the trained inner awareness. I put in bracket the silent inner awareness, means our true mind, our silent mind, our meditative mind. Use it to reflect, to inquire and contemplate the Dhamma. Then you can actually develop the understanding very fast. Then you can also use it to cultivate heedfulness, which is the mind that is ever mindful and constantly meditative in daily life. So when you do that, you can develop the turning wisdom also. So this Unicode 98, if you understand, it can help you in the cultivation. Then after that, it connects to Unicode number 99. Once you have developed 97, your initial wisdom, Yoniso Manasikara, will be there. Then from there, you will have more and more moments of awareness. Your mind does not stir like before. Because at the moment of sense experience with the initial wisdom, Yoniso Manasikara, born of Dhamma understanding, it will prompt you and your mind will be stable, collected, unwavering. It's not deluded. So it will stay there. Because there is what we call understanding. There is no more delusion, heedlessness. So that one will enable you to have more and more moments of silence or inner awareness. And because of that, it transforms into space between thought. Means you are no longer heedless like before, continuously creating thinking, the thought process. Now most of the time you are just aware, aware, aware. Whatever you come to perceive at the moment of sense experience is just aware. Then it stays there. It does not stir, it does not react. And because of that, you can cultivate what we call sati sampajana, mindfulness and clear comprehension of everything that is going on within life. And that is step 5 of Avijja Sutta. So the enlightenment cycle of the Avijja Sutta is step 5, cultivating sati sampajana, mindfulness and clear comprehension. You're not only mindful in the midst of life, you have clear comprehension. This is to prevent you from deviating. The clear comprehension is to keep you established on the correct training. The 4 types of clear comprehension as taught by the Buddha are, as I have taught and shared with you all before. The first one is clear comprehension of what they call purpose, means sincerity of purpose, means you cultivate this sati or mindfulness or 4 foundation of mindfulness is to develop wisdom, nothing else. That's how you won't go wrong. You won't go into psychic field and all those things. So understanding that only wisdom free, nothing else. So your sincerity of purpose will bring you to that understanding so that whatever people teach you, if it's deviate from developing The wisdom as taught by the Buddha means understanding all the Dhamma, the essential Dhamma as taught by the Buddha, leading to all the wisdom, first, second, and third turning wisdom that stabilizes. And through that, it gives rise to what we call yoniso manasikara, being Dhamma wisdom at the moment of sense experience. So this sati sampajana is very important. First, develop mindfulness, stabilize it, ever mindful. Throughout the day, you are mindful. Then you add in clear comprehension. First, clear comprehension, like I said, sincerity of purpose. Yeah. So that one already prevents you from deviation. Second, clear comprehension is domain of practice. Clear comprehension of the domain of practice means don't be deluded or culpable to think that only if I retire, I don't work, then only I got time to meditate. No. Meditation can be done in the midst of life, anywhere, any place, any time. In fact, life itself is your, they call it mandala, or place where you develop the cultivation, the way place. As I said, life itself is your greatest teacher. So it is within life that we develop the cultivation. To be in the cultivation state or meditative state, we only need to be heedful. The moment we are heedful or mindful and aware in the midst of life, that is meditation. That is the meditative mind, meditative training. So wherever there is mindfulness, there is sati, there is meditation, bhavana. Always remember that. Then there is this clear comprehension of suitability, the third clear comprehension. Means you need to be very clear about suitability. What is the most important time? Here and the now, because the rest are not a reality. So this present moment, here and the now, these are the things you can do. These are the things you can help. Then from there, the most important people are the people that are within your vicinity or you can reach out to, or radiate your metta or whatever to, or your pure wish. Yeah. So, suitability means most important time now, most important people, those who are near to you or you can reach out to. Then the other one is the most important place is also the here and the now. Yeah. So, don't like when you are traveling or when you are somewhere else, you think of home, yeah? You think of all those. What they call through your own thought process, then you are not with the moment. You are not doing what the Buddha is teaching you to develop. Of course, you can contemplate, reflect, or plan, or do whatever based on your clarity of mind. So your clarity of mind is the mind that has awareness within that is creative, then you can contemplate, reflect, and do all this. But do not be lost in thought. Do not like go and think of the past or project into the future and develop the unnecessary fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. That is not Dhamma. Dhamma means when you have that clarity to be heedful, to be mindful. When you are contemplating, reflecting, to develop the Dhamma understanding, that one is different. Sometimes you can recollect past incident, how it has helped you develop the understanding of certain aspect of them. And that is good. That is not dwell into the past. To dwell into the past means you recall your, what they call, phobia, your misery, how people cheat you, deceive you, and how you get into trouble and all that. Then all these are wrong thought, trigger of past memory. That's why you will condition your suffering, your misery, your affliction. So when you lack mindfulness, wisdom, you will do that. But when you have mindfulness and wisdom, you will not dwell into all those things. You will know how to set your priority correctly. Yeah. So this is what they call suitability, clear comprehension of suitability of purpose. Most important time, most important people, and most important locality and all those things. Then the last one is clear comprehension of non-delusion. This one is to avoid the defilement of insight so that you are not trapped by your good progress. So although all these are signs of insight knowledge or good meditative mind state or progress, but when you attach to it, cling on to it, it becomes a defilement. So ability to have clear comprehension of non-delusion is to have the ability to watch out for the defilement of insight so that when they arise, you are not deceived, you are not trapped by it. Okay? So that sati sampajana is mindfulness plus clear comprehension. So when you can develop sati sampajana in the midst of life, means in your daily life, until one is ever mindful and constantly meditative, means you not only have clear comprehension, you are fully established in heedfulness, apamada. Okay? Okay. Then after that, the next unit code is a continuity. Yeah? This one also very important. When one can see things clearly, or when one can see clearly how our mundane mind reacts, stir and oscillate between the dualities of sensual desire and ill will, even to wrong view, leading to habitual tendency, then wisdom will keep on arising. This unit code 100, you can only do when you have stability of mindfulness, when sati sampajana is very stable. Otherwise, you can't. That's why everything boils down to understanding meditation. What is meditation? To be in a meditative state means you must develop heedfulness. And from heedfulness, all this come about. That's why the first thing you have to train is to develop heedfulness. Whatever that don't lead to heedfulness is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Because that statement, Dhammapada verse 21, is very clear. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless, whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead, so you don't stand a chance. Yeah. So these are very important understanding. Okay, now I will go to the whiteboard to explain further. Right? You see, all of meditation center on developing this ability to be aware. Means you have to silence your mind from that what they call active existential world, phenomenal world of consciousness. You need to silence all this and let it return to the inner awareness nature. The first thing to come out from that source, you can call this by whatever name that you want, your true nature, your original nature, oneness nature, or pure Buddha nature. Or some people call it the source of Nirvana or singularity or whatever. And some even call it God. Is how you understand it. God in the sense, this is the deathless, eternal. But it's not a being. You have to understand. There is a big difference. Then the first thing to come out is you need a form and mind for it to arise. And the first thing to come out is the pure awareness. And this pure awareness is what our true nature is. Our original nature is from here, we manifest. But because of this mundane mind, this one create mundane thinking very fast. That's why you cannot develop the understanding of it. Where the moment you are born, you are so conditioned to develop this mundane thinking, mundane activity, then your brain, your memory, from there, the conditioning starts. Then you accumulate all the knowledge, you accumulate all the experience of life, good and bad. And this is how your brain, your memory, create all the delusion and entanglement, the wrong view. Then from there, through your senses and your consciousness trapped inside the mundane mind, you create the 18 sense line, which manifests into the phenomenal world of consciousness. So to meditate is to understand this movement from here out to here. And most people, they hardly understand here, the source, because they can't even be here, the pure awareness. That's why the pure awareness is where sati is. Without thought, this nature is there. Where this nature was there all along before thought arises. That's why the Buddha came to the clear understanding. He said, mind, this mundane mind, is a forerunner of all things. When this mundane mind arises, all things arise, the phenomenal world. Realize this in the meditation. See the creative process, how it happens. When you are with the pure awareness, very stable, you can see the movement into thought process very fast. Then how from the thought process, through your senses, you manifest the phenomenal world of consciousness. The seeing, the hearing, the smell, the taste, the tactile, and the thought process. Here, when I describe, it appears to you very easy to understand. But when you are living as a human being or living being, living life, when you are here, you become here. And this is the one that create the what they call delusion to entice you. This is where it lure you, the existential world, the phenomenal world of consciousness. This is where everything happens. And living beings are lost in here. That's why when you are here, everything becomes concept, idea, and thought process. It's no longer consciousness. Understand? Because the moment you see, you hear, you smell, you taste, you tactile feel and think, you think, sankhara sanya, then you experience, then you stir your mind, you create the emotion. That's how you get entangled here. So this is what they call the conditioned world. You get conditioned, entangled into suffering, into affliction. So not able to see this clearly leads to attachment, clinging, grasping, and holding on to things. That's how suffering manifests. But when you are aware from here, you can see how you fall. How from the mundane mind, it creates all this wrong view, wrong thought, attachment, entanglement. And through this understanding, you can straighten your view so that you learn how to see things as they are and not get entangled. So the basis of meditation is to have this ability to see all this clearly. then retrospectively reverse it. Because you know how you get yourself entangled. So when you have the clear understanding, the awareness that has the direct seeing and awakening will realize the delusion, that you are liberate and free. Then this phenomenal world of consciousness and form, they fail to have any power over you. That's how the whole thing collapses in front of you. Then you understand very clearly there is a form and mind, a vehicle and a tool for you to come to this existential world to live life. And then you know how to use it to live life. But this one is not you. This one is dependent, originating, condition arising, karmically conditional through the karmic, karmically conditional. This living being or human being is not you. It's not a permanent and changing entity. Understanding this is wisdom, the purpose of meditation. So, can see. Yeah. Then the other thing is, when you develop this ability to be here, pure awareness, you use it to cultivate heedfulness. You use it to actually develop the direct seeing, to insight into phenomena, to awaken to the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, anatta. Then the wisdom that manifests will liberate the mundane mind. Then this mundane mind that realizes itself will cease. Where it knows. This one is not a reality. This one is actually the one that creates havoc when you don't have Dhamma. When you have Dhamma, this one listens to you. You want it to be silent, aware, it will just do that. Then it will cease. It realizes itself, cease. Then it reaches here. When you are here, you can develop the sainthood enlightenment. The initial first stage of sainthood, Suttapannaship, Sakadagami, second stage of sainthood, then Anagami and Arahanta. This one very easy. But to go further, to develop the higher cultivation, which is the Bodhisattva way, you cannot just have a glimpse of it or just develop the ability to be with the pure awareness. You need to stabilize it. Then, finally, if you want to go the Bodhisattva way, you need to actually realize the gateway. You need to actually develop the stability of mindfulness and stay at the heart area and let that nature detect the gateway into our pure nature within. And that movement is the Bodhisattva way cultivation, which is a higher cultivation. And once you develop that, this awareness nature become more and more prominent, more and more stable. Then the internal transformation, which is based on the four support, which is trust, becomes very, very clear. And then from that movement, the five stages of Bodhi mind development, you can understand them. How from the first stage of Bodhi mind development, where you initially develop the aspiration to plant the Bodhi mind to go this way and take the vow. Then from there, you develop all the understanding, the wisdom part, to actually develop the Bodhi mind that enable you to free from suffering, means endure and severe all suffering. Then after that, the Bodhi mind that illuminate that nature, that one you need to cultivate, the Bodhisattva way. Otherwise, you cannot do it. Then the Bodhi mind that illuminate the nature very clearly is when the Bodhisattva has detected the gateway and go through the transformation, then the whole nature become very, very clear. Very, very, they call it very beautiful. Words cannot describe it. That nature is beyond words, beyond thought. And that one keep on evolving, transforming. And that one keep on developing the wisdom. That as the process go on, your wisdom, energy develop until it's very, very fine, until it has reached the level of what they call fineness, that the mundane mind is too gross to remain inside. That's how the mundane mind collapses. When the mundane mind collapses, that pure nature shine forth. That's why it illuminates that nature. That's why Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, under the Prajnaparamita Sutta, he actually recited it. When he was cultivating the Prajnaparamita Sutta, he illuminated the five skandhas and realized they were all empty. Means he realized the third stage of Bodhi mind development. Means that nature become very clear. Then when you are there with that understanding, that nature's clarity, this five area of form in mind become very clear to you. Zhao jian wu yin jie kong. That he realized they were all empty, not real, not a permanent engineer, no reality at all. And then this one is not a being, it cannot come out and live. You will also know as a cultivator. So this is how the whole of cultivation can be understood when you draw in simple what they call formation, the four stages of creation. Means from the source, the first thing to come out is a pure awareness. Then this pure awareness nature need to be developed. Whether it's a sinhood way or the bodhisattva way, this one, a lot of work is to be done. This is your true mind, your meditative mind, your silent mind. And this one, very few people can understand or do, or can come to. And for us who have this understanding, you better go all out to develop it. Then when you develop it, you will understand the true meaning of living being, your essence. Yeah, this one will take you back to here. When this one develop the clear understanding, it will cease. The pure awareness nature also will cease. Then you merge with the source. And then only you can understand what this thing is. But when you are inside there, there is no word, nothing. That's how you cannot talk about, you cannot do that. But the moment it come out again, you can see this process coming out. Then how from here it create this and create this. You can see it very clearly when you go to Nibbana. The whole process of cessation means you come to know how all this creation return and cease. Then from there, because you're not time to die yet, your aggregates are still there, your coming life force, everything is still there. That's why they call it the Arahant with residue. Means the five aggregate, they are still there. You're not supposed to parinibbana yet. And because of that, this one can come out again. It's just like creation during the coming. What we call it, the first arising of this pure awareness from the primordial nature. Then from here, how it actually falls and become what it is over eons and eons of birth and death. And this is what samsara is. So ability to return and realize the cessation of form and mind leading to the realization of nibbana, where the pure awareness also ceases, is what enlightenment is all about. And after that, if you are not supposed to die yet, means not supposed to parinibbana yet, then this one can come out. When it come out, depends. It's not for you to decide. Where is the unconditioned? But you will know how to come. When it come out, the first thing that will arise is the pure awareness. That's why you see very clearly. This one manifests first. So when the pure awareness manifests, I still remember. From here, the consciousness, everything came back. But that consciousness inside there is pure. There is split into three. One part of the consciousness go to the brain. One part go to the tantra. The other one go to the heart area. And then it starts to animate you into a living being or human being for our case. So the first one that I can recall is during that time in 1989. Here, the brain, when the whole thing ceases, when you go through the cessation of form and mind, when you realize Nibbana, your whole brain here, the activity of like cease. There is no movement at all. Completely no movement, but you are not dead. Yeah. Then I remember when the nature came out, the first one that came out, the pure awareness, then with the consciousness, it split into three. The moment that awareness or consciousness come out of the brain, this one is like animated, zoom, like a dynamo like that. It starts to function again. And then you can see the activity, the movement. But initially, it's very slow. It's slow. Very slow. Then, at the heart area, same. The heartbeat, everything, they return. Then the tan tien to move all this. They call it the earthly mundane energy that you need for living, for doing whatever the human being need to do is from here. And this one is the heart is also responsible for your emotion, everything. The conscience, everything also here. But that here, up here is memory. Yeah. So you can see them clearly. Then after that, how the senses, they slowly, slowly come in. And upon contact with the respective sense bases, how it triggers the paticca samuppada, the dwelling, how your mind, how it actually goes to the brain, the memory, to actually retrieve and input the content. But before you have the Dhamma, the heedless, wrong thought, everything will go in. But after you come out from that realization, your understanding is there, it becomes very different. Then it's like you know it's coming already. The creation process starting already. That's why I share with you all. When I came down from Cameron Highland, 1989, I was in the bus. I saw how the sense data coming, like slow motion, slowly. Then how it starts to actually develop the movement and create the manifestation of the mundane activity again. Based how I go back to normal human consciousness again. Initially, it's very deep inside. Then when it came out, it was still like very deep. Then how all this manifests and start happening. Then after that, how I came out of the meditation. Then how I came out of the retreat. I saw them all. That's why I can understand what happened. And I can now share and teach you all. Is because the thing that happened at that time was so clear, so vivid, so beautiful. And all the link, everything is very clear. It's like everything like slow motion for you to see. And that clarity is, that's why that nature is very different, very beautiful. That pure awareness nature, that thing that came out and manifest. But most of living beings cannot even be there. Not to say to experience what happened. The whole process of coming out. That's why they say, after you go in, you come out, you become very different. Then whatever people tell you, you won't believe them anymore. Yeah, you know what that thing is. He know you, he know me. There is no such thing as a being inside that. Nothing. It's just that pure nature's movement, activity. And the phenomenal world is just like an illusionary world. Just like the Buddha's analogy. Consciousness is like a magician. Illusionist. Create illusion. Then the five aggregate is exactly like what the Buddha shared. He said form is like foam. no reality, appear very solid but disperse very fast, the four elements. That's why you go through birth, old age, sickness and death. And feeling is like bubble, pop, gone, pop, gone. All your feeling, you don't believe me, when you are mindful aware, when you are sick or whatever, with injury or whatever unpleasant sensation, you be mindful. You realize moment to moment, moment to moment. Nobody inside there to feel. Nothing. It's just paticca sammuppada, dependent on origin. Dependent on you. Upon contact, feeling arises. But when you have the wisdom, feeling can remain as pure feeling. It doesn't condition craving. And you can see that very clearly. That's why the analogy was very beautiful, what the Buddha gave. Then perception is like a mirage in the desert. No reality. Every image you create through your seeing consciousness, like very real, isn't it? Like say, open your eye. Everything within your senses, within your seeing consciousness, appear like created radio, like very real, very solid. And it's not. You can see the color, shape, and form, everything. Then you can like describe it, utao wei and all those things. But is there any reality? The moment you close your eye, this whole creation is gone. That's why you say image, like a mirage, appears so real, but you cannot own it, cannot hold on to it. Well, all these are dependent on reality. And the only reality is within the moment. And how stable is the moment? Split second is gone. Split second is gone. That's why I say everything can only be recalled to memory. Wang si zi nen hui wei. No reality. It's just an image, consciousness. And through the brain, the memory, you perceive it. How real can perception be? That's why I say like a projector creating the film show on the screen. It's blank, actually. Nothing inside there. But when you are watching that show, the video or the film show, it's like so real, you know? The sound effect, the color, everything, the manifestation. That is what delusion is when you don't have the Dhamma understanding, the direct seeing and the understanding of what happened in life. Then, of course, Sankara is the most difficult to understand. But that one keep on manifesting. All of your mind states, all of your mental activity and thinking, your planning, your scheming, your mental intention, they are all part of Sankara. Everything that your mind can do, the magician, after the magic come out, the consciousness appear, the brain through its Sankara activity input the content and create the meaning inside the phenomenal world of consciousness. Initially, like the Buddha said, in the seeing is just a seeing consciousness, no one to see, no story, understand? Like the baby, pure seeing, pure hearing, pure smell, pure taste, pure tactile, and pure thought, no content. Can you be in that state? Only enlightened being can be in that state. Normal living being, you know. Okay? So today, I think enough. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Oh, by accident, almost 10 o'clock. Okay, we take a 3 minutes toilet break. Then we come back and continue. Okay, I mark this page. We are at page 29. 28, we finish. Until you need code 100. Next one is 101. Okay, so now we are back for our second session. How many online?
Just now was 13, but now 7. So, seven. Alicia, Chui, Andy, Elsie, Manyet, Poche.
Oh, Poche, yeah. Okay. So now, physical class here we have 5, Jin Hao, Pamasri, Bertil, my wife, and me. Okay. Now is second session, meditation reporting or Q&A or we can also develop the sharing of what we have shared today. So any of these can be our topic, Dharma in daily life.
Good evening, Bratio, Mrs. Teo.
Ah, good evening. Yes.
Oh, Kalyana Mitas.
Yeah, Sadhu.
Today's sharing is another gem, Bratio.
Yeah, another gem, another very beautiful one. Because today I elaborate a bit more on the after cessation of form and mind, how you come out and all those things.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
It's so wonderful and inspiring.
Sadhu, sadhu, yeah. In fact, just now, Pamasu River, Tiong Chin, how they also rejoice, my wife. Because
yeah.
This part is actually not easy to hear from cultivator of the way. Very few people can have that type of cultivation to develop that understanding and share with people.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
It's very, very good. I don't know how to say how good is it.
Yeah, yeah, you cannot describe it until you have the cultivation to have the ability to understand it. But the whole movement is like that. But I think a few of you all can understand, because I remember last time, Po Cheng, Alicia, they all, and I think Amy also, once at the retreat, you all also went in quite deep, but not the whole process of cessation come out. What I heard is you all went into the awareness nature quite deep. That's how from there it come out. The coming out process is more or less the same, but slightly different. When you go through cessation, that brain there, everything, the activity all completely shut down. Because our normal human being, when you are as a living being, as a human being, you realize the brain there, non-stop on the activity. But when your mundane mind collapse already, you realize up there, very like very empty, very clean, very clear inside there. But there is still activity, still activity. But when that cessation of form and mind happen, the pure awareness also no more, then the whole thing like shut down. You know, your computer, when you on it, there's a sound on it, zoom, then all the vibrations inside it. Then when you off it, you realize or not, the whole thing shut down at that time. Like completely no vibration, nothing. Everything becomes quiet, still. No activity at all. The brain is like that. The whole thing like shut down. No activity at all. But you are not dead. No. You are not dead. The heartbeat also stopped. Everything also stopped. Then you cannot talk about it because there is no consciousness, nothing. Even pure awareness also not there. Then that whole thing realized itself and went through the cessation and reached the first circle. Then you cannot know anything, you cannot do anything. But the form and mind that went through that cessation process will understand what that thing is. Because when it's not supposed to die, when it come out, that movement is the most beautiful. And it's so clear, it showed it to you. That's why I came to know the first thing to come out is the pure awareness nature. That nature manifests first. There at the heart area, remember, the consciousness is there, the pure. If separate into three areas of consciousness to create the animation for this human being to come back to life. The first one that went up, I remember, is the brain. Then the brain, the moment you went up, it's like that dynamo start again. No? Oh. Then I start to like experience the life within. No? Then the heart area there, then the tantian area, then I become a normal human being again. No? But the consciousness hasn't come out yet, because I was so calm, so still when I was at Cameron in the year 1989. I remember. Then after that, when I came out on the retreat, I slowly, slowly go back to normal life. But that absorption, that stability of awareness, that still state of mind, the pure awareness state is so still and so strong. Until when I was in the bus, I also like don't want to talk, hardly talk. Then the senses are fully aware. You know? It's everything like slow motion. You know? The sense data, how they actually from afar, they like floating in. You know? Then how it actually enter the sense door. Then how it make contact. Then how it goes to the brain there and retrieve that thing. And how it actually start the whole process. The Paticca Samuppada, the dwelling. Yeah. Then because my case that time there was no more avijja. No more avijja paccaya sankhara. It's vijja sankhara. So that vijja sankhara, beautiful. That sankhara is pure sankhara, non-grasping. Then from there it trigger of the pure consciousness, also non-grasping. Then input the content also pure. Then very funny, you know, after that, the whole thing, like the link, they show it to you, you know, very clearly, you know, how you can live that type of life. You know? How that pure nature can manifest just like that. That's why from there, the whole teaching become very clear. That's why after that, when I share and I teach, I don't need to refer to anything. I can just tell you there and then on the whiteboard, I write it out. Yeah. Because this is what will happen when you go through that cessation of form and mind, that so-called Nibbana realization. Yeah. There is no being inside there. The one day mind realizes itself and cease, and the whole thing transforms, becomes so beautiful. Then the whole process go in and come out, reveal to you the whole thing. Yeah. Then during that time, I remember, it keep on happening to me, the cessation, yeah, during those period. Yeah. Especially where it's very near to the time when my mundane mind is supposed to collapse later on. I remember during that time, it happened so often, so many times. And every time it happened, it's so stable, so clear. Yeah. It just like that. Until I just sat in the house, I didn't do anything. 89 to 2004, before Yun Chan came. Yeah. I believe it was just like what the Buddha went through underneath the Bodhi tree. Who can understand what happened? That's not. Even when the mundane mind collapsed, I was telling my wife, how come it's like that? So strange, you know. The whole awareness that nature shine for, illuminate that nature inside. The pure nature shine for, you know, the mundane mind no more. Like the cloud all dispersed. Then I was sitting down there for 5 days and night, you know, I remember. So amazed, you know, how come all of nature is still the same, nothing changed, you know, but now the seeing is so different. You know. Everything like so clear. You know. There is like no mind inside there. Like nothing inside there. You know. But everything just manifests like there. Then the characteristic of nature is everywhere, you know, in the midst of life and nature. Every phenomenon, every moment, every instant, it is like that. You know. That's why I say, it's so amazing. The world is really amazing and really wonderful. Yeah. Then the whole transformation, when it happened that time, I just tell myself, who can understand all this? That's why I didn't do anything for almost 15 years, 1989 until 2004, until Yun Chan came. Yeah. So all this is what actually happened. And that's how I also come to understand why Hui Ning, you remember Hui Ning? He was with the hunters for 16 years. The Fifth Patriarch also advised him to lie low because of coming. Your time will come. You had to wait. He waited 16 years. I waited 15 years. Not to say I wait. For me, the understanding is no condition, nothing happens. Unless there is condition, things will arise. Things will manifest. That's why the condition came after Yun Chan came. I remember end of 2004. That's why next year is 2024. It is actually a very auspicious year, you know, because it marked the 20 years I came out, you know. Then I actually, during that birthday, exactly 70 years old. Oh. So next year, I think, will be a beautiful gathering of Kenyamita. The understanding, everything will become very different by then. A lot of Kenyamita will become very different. And I think our Uthai San tree also meant to be one. So just let things be. If I'm not wrong, May, is it? May next year. May. They say must be after 15, no? Otherwise China there. After 10, yeah. That is the best, better. Otherwise, yeah, you go there, jam until you cannot move. The bus, everything, all jam. The train also, no ticket. So, we avoid that crowd, then you'll be beautiful. Like our Xinjiang trip also, we were very lucky actually. We came back end of September, before the October 1st. 4 days before that. Actually, the day we fly over, the area that we went to, snow. Really snow. And before we arrived, 1 week before we arrived, because we were there for 11 days, the Taoyu told us, for 1 week it was snowing. Before we arrived. But the moment we arrived, he also surprised. He said, weather forecast very bad. But every day is sunny. Cloudy, sunny, good weather every day. Then the moment we fly back, the whole area where we went and visit, park our bus, there were so many buses. The whole area covered in snow. You really don't believe. And when it's like that, nobody can move. The bus, everything also has to come to a standstill. That's why they say you have to visit at the right time. Because it seems the link, the snow mountain, Tian San, the Tian San snow, they melt down and form that lake, the Xie San, or is the Tian San, the name of the mountain is Tian San, the snow, they melt and form the lake. And during winter, frozen, or the whole lake, the dam that dammed the thing, they told us it's frozen during winter. But down there is still water. But the top layer is frozen. Oh, sorry, Engby. keep you waiting. I took up too much of your time. You continue, Engby. Sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, right here. I have to. Suddenly, I feel to want to express my gratitude to Sister Yun Chan.
Yeah.
Spotting the true gem of Brother Teo.
It's meant to be one, actually. It's meant to be one. Because she is the, like I used to joke with her, chosen one. Understand? you can understand, the chosen one to approach me. She requested 3 times, no? And I 3 times also say no. I say, just let things be. And then after the third time, I felt something is not right. Inside, the nature told me, hey, it's about time you come out. No. I say, how? If I come out, people cannot understand. They will entangle. Then he said, you set condition. Then after that, I reflect. That's why I came out with the 3 conditions that I mentioned in our website. Once I set that 3 conditions, then I know it's safe. That's why so far so good. Almost 20 years already. Nothing happened. think we continue.
So to Sister Yun Chan, hopefully she can hear the recording. I would like to express my gratitude to her for spotting Brother Teo and invited Brother Teo. Even though 3 times she keep on persistently to invite Radio to come out and share the Dharma sharing so that benefit many of us later.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's meant to be one, actually. I can still remember. He actually not purposely three times invited me. You know. It's because that three occasions that I met up with her before she invited me. The sharing is she know this type of sharing is like very different or no. Then she keep on telling me one. No. Say, Ritio, since your Dhamma is so good, why not you come out and share? And on that three occasion of which was within the few weeks that we meet, three times I remember, he keep on requesting that I come out and share. No. And three times also I say, never mind, just let things be. I say, unless there is condition, just let things be. Then finally, instead of she requesting, after the third time, my nature prompted me, then I recollect. Then after that, I say, okay. Yeah. It's just like Sampati, remember? The Brahma, I came down and talked to Sakyamuni after pay respect, all those things. Yeah. Then Sakyamuni reflected, oh yeah, there are some with little dust that can understand. But that time, I didn't have this idea that there are some with little dust. No. Because to me, since there is condition and my nature tell me it's about time, means the timing is correct really, that I should come out and share. Because like the calling is there. That's why 4 years later, 2008, Maitreya came officially and requested. So all this is like, I realize it's meant to be. It's because of all your kayamitas, parami, affinity, conditions. And this life, this nature, its affinity with the living being, all this is supposed to manifest. And they also know who are the ones that can teach like that and share like that. And my coming is also very strange. Yeah? I'm English educated, you realize or not? It's meant to benefit the English educated one. Well, most of the Dhamma, the Theravada tradition, they are mostly English educated one, you realize. Only the Mahayana one are Mandarin educated. And to actually teach the Mahayana teaching to the English educated is not easy. Like you all went through, you all know. And the most surprising thing is 2015, the Bodhisattva way came out. At first I thought, not so fast or no. Then it got so fast. Suddenly, it just manifest. You read the blue book, everything is inside there. And it just happened like that. And the blue book, I remember when I was doing that four session of sharing, the Bodhisattva way, it was like, wow, that time, my nature was full of joy. You know? And when it shared that one, that's why it can be transcribed into a book. And that one is very comprehensive, you know, very detailed. Okay, sorry. English, yeah. Continue.
Okay, it's okay. The next people that I would like to thank them are the one Brother Teo just said, 2015, those people who invited Brother
The main one is, I think, Padmasuri. Yes. Padmasuri. Then many other Kayamita wrote to me the email. I forgot who already. But I remember Padmasuri approached me and asked me to share and requested for the date. And 1st of January 2015, I remember. You read the blue book, it's all written there.
Yes. Thank you, Sister Padmasuri, for initiate the invitation for Brother Teo to
the
start the
way.
Bodhisattva way.
Then Eng Bi and Mi Fong, actually together with Sui An, started the Subang Jaya group. That one also very important. You invited me to come out and share the meditation in Subang.
Yeah, that is how we started the Thursday.
Yeah.
Another few person like Sister Hui Rong also I like to
Ah,
thank
yes, correct,
because
correct.
she invited relative to start the Jing Kang Jing.
Yeah, Jing Kang Jing, ah.
And
Then
sister
also Leng Yan Jing, ah.
Leng Yan Jing, I miss lah. I didn't join yet that time.
Yeah, never mind, not that important. By now, I think you can understand, right? It's about the 50 Divan Samadhi.
Oh. Another person is Sister Lee Siu Gek
Ah,
for
yeah, the Heart Sutta, yeah.
Hasuta in Hu Ping
Hu
Ching
Bing
Sir.
Jing Se,
Yeah.
yes.
Then followed by Liu Zhu Tan Jing, the six
Yeah,
different
correct.
platform Sutta. Those are very
Yeah.
beneficial to me, lah, especially to me,
Yeah,
I
yeah, yeah.
benefit a lot. Yeah. So
And
I really
our
want to see how
spiritual
it goes.
trip. Also, we should thank our spiritual trip, all the organizers, many of them, they help. Then also our website, that one actually
Yes.
have a recording and all those things.
Yeah.
That's why you need all the causes and conditions to fall into place and set all this. Actually, you look back, it cannot be so coincidental anymore. Do you know that MCO, I mean, it may not sound good to say that, it's meant to be one, no, that 3 years of MCO. So he come back and retire, no? Without that condition, he won't come back and retire. And this Zoom session all won't take off. And Po Cheng also will not progress until like that. No? Yeah. Because of the MCO, I take 8 months to share the Heart Sutta. Do you all realize one thing? No? A lot of the transcript book I did, they are real gem inside there. And you all don't realize until I share it. No? You realize that? Like the unique code. When the unique code come out, I don't think many people understand. But I believe Eng Bee understand. But he was the one that stored in the computer the 160 over code. Oh, that one was beautiful. And because of that, I can recollect what I shared. Then I put it into a book. I was looking for the title at that time. I said, what title do you use? Straight from the Heart is good, but what title do you? Oh, then the nature told me unique code. Well, these codes are very unique. These are all about the true mind one, the awareness nature one, the Bodhisattva way cultivation one. So all these are, I think these are the conditions that we need to understand and express gratitude. That's why this word gratitude is very important. When you have gratitude, you have joy, you have understanding. And this is how Kayamitaship can really grow and flourish because of all these supporting conditions. Yeah, what are Kayamita? Fellow Dhamma friends that walk the path of Dhamma. Yeah? To share, to counsel, to motivate, to encourage, and to develop all this good, favorable understanding. And each and every one of us, we contributed in one way or another without us realizing it. Yeah. So like I said, without all, there is no such manifestation. Without me, there is also no such manifestation. But without the rest of you, this thing can also cannot arise. That's why you look at how you understand yin and yang. Especially Sui, he understand it very well. For something to happen in life, so much condition need to unfold and fall into place before it can happen. That's why he realized this is really amazing. Amazing. And this is really amazing and wonderful existence. So as you penetrate the Dhamma, the understanding, all this will surface. Even last Thursday, you remember PG summarized it so well? Then they decide to do a transcript. So today one also very good. But we see how it goes. Maybe some part that we share today, we can add it in into that book there. We will see how it goes. Initially, I will finish off that book first. Then this one, the second part, especially the sharing there. No need to go from the beginning and all things. But the later part when I developed the sharing that time, that part, especially the cessation and how it come out, that one is very beautiful. That one I think need to be transcribed in. You can add in as an appendix or what. Okay, Ingbe, you can continue and wrap it up.
Yeah. Most of all, the most important Kalyamita is Brother Teo. I must say, very big Mahasadhu to Brother Teo
yeah, sadhu, sadhu.
For guiding us or to us across the
yeah. Also,
so,
because of your past, all of you have your past affinity and connection with my nature, with all the great beings' nature. And there are a lot of beautiful causes and conditions that has actually manifest from the past for this particular sasana to unfold. Otherwise, it can't happen. In fact, earlier on, I remember Jin Hao and me and Wan Yuan and Sister Chupolian, we were having this day tarik after Tuesday class. And they also talk about you. Oh, Brother Teo, Chupolian asked, Jin Hao also asked, Brother Teo, how can we recognize being like you? I said, there is no such thing as how. First, you don't have affinity, you cannot even meet them. After you have affinity, when you meet them, you don't have the understanding to talk to them and sense them, you also cannot know. Then, they say they were so lucky to have met me and didn't have the negative karma to get lost after meeting me. I say it's because there are causes and conditions from the past. Otherwise, it cannot be like that. Understand? Those who are supposed to stay will always stay. And it is so beautiful. That's why as it unfolds, coming to 19 over years, by the time it hit the 20 years of sharing, you always start to develop that clear understanding of how all this can never be by chance. It's like everything is already set, meant to be. That's why really beautiful for Ingvi to actually summarize all this with the expression of gratitude is also meant to be very, very beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Ratio. And I make aspiration not to be complacent at all.
Yeah, very important. Sadhu.
Diligent to cultivate the Buddha Dharma, the true Buddha Dharma as taught by the Buddha, also shared by Ratio to all of us. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, thank you. Let us rejoice.
Sadhu.
Sadhu. Sadhu. Oh, everything is like meant to be. They are unfolding very beautifully. Okay, so we will share merits. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyantang anumoditva cirang rakantu lokasasana itavata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan Sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idam me nyatinam hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idam me nyatinam hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idam me nyatinam hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo Deo asatu kalena sasa sampati heto cha vito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhamiko imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo otu yava nivana patiya Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you all can now pay respect mindfully to the Lord Buddha. Panyin Bodhisattva and all the worthy ones. Then we end the whole Zoom session. Thank you.
But this class, we should realize that for one the same class will happen, yeah. So many other classes fall into place. So next the same class, we hope more can come in and
yeah,
come
I
out for the class. Actually, it's not easy for one class to happen like that. You can't be thinking about it.
Yeah,
many,
yeah.
Many, everything has to fall into
yeah.
place for one class.
You are unable myself to you. Otherwise, you see, yeah. Jinn is very conducive. This is very different.
Yeah, very different. It just comes also.
Yeah. This way is very
different.
It's meant to be. Because now we are sincere.
Actually, it's up there.
Yeah, if we want this place
to. Okay, shall we put our palms together to say Savitri Das Subratio and Mrs. Steele for coming all the way to share this Dharma with us by saying Savitri Das. Brother Jin Hao. For fetching radio, for conducting the Zoom session, and for doing the recording.
Sadhu to Brother Jim and Sister Pamasuri for letting us having their place to conduct the Buddha Dharma. Sadhu.